Welcome to episode 144 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, I'm in amongst the trees once again, this time with the aim of photographing a piece of outdoor kit ahead of a test review write-up. As you'll hear though, the weather had other plans on the day in question, so with a slight change of plan and seeking shelter, I took the opportunity to record a few thoughts about the process. So then, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 144! It's just after 2:30 in the afternoon, and I am sheltering from the rain. Now, you probably can't hear it, because the rain is very, very fine. It's almost as if it's just about to stop. We've been forecast showers today, and nothing has happened so far. So, I am in the middle of some woodland. I'm here for a reason, and I'll come to that in a moment, but I'm sheltering under a tarp, which I have put up here to keep me and my kit nice and dry. Whilst I am sheltering, just to see what the weather is going to do, I thought maybe I would talk through the process that I go through whereby I have to photograph items that you guys see as part of the test and review section of The Active Photographer. So, just to give you sort of a bit of context, I've come out here today to take some pictures. I've already taken a few, but just some final ones of the UST, which is the Ultimate Survival Technologies Base All-Weather Tarp. Now, some of you will have heard me probably talking about that. If you've looked at the Facebook page, you will have seen a picture of this sort of in its pouch when it was first supplied to me. I have been using it. I have tried it. It's a nice little tarp. It's probably not what I was completely expecting. I mean, I'll go into sort of very little detail now, because there will be before long a write-up about it, but the expanded dimensions are 8 foot by 6 foot, which on the surface you think that's great. I mean, the tarp that I'm sat under at the moment is somewhere in the region of about, I don't know what it is now, is it probably somewhere about 9 by 7 or 8 by 6 or something like that, but the UST tarp is like a diamond shape, so you kind of, the 8 foot is point to point along the length, but only 6 foot wide, but of course it tapers in the diamond formation, so you don't actually have all that much cover. But I dare say, if you needed protection in an emergency situation, and it's got this reflective underside, you would actually be fine. You just want to pitch it pretty low to the ground if you were using it as a tarp, as a cover. Or, of course, you can sort of wrap it around yourself. It would be fine. Anyway, that was what I was planning to photograph whilst I was out here today. Like I say, I've just taken shelter myself. Something else I was going to do is just do a bit of research. And I'll just briefly talk about that. You guys know that as well as a photographer, I'm a writer. And that's an area which I'm also pushing further. There are some interesting things happening with that. So I thought I'd just come out here with a couple of magazines, just have a look at them, do a bit of research and see what's with that. If you're in this country, that's the UK, you will probably have seen this magazine. It is Outdoor Fitness Magazine. It's rather good. And I've also got here a paper, which is the Countryman's Weekly, which is not the sort of thing that I would typically read. It's a country sports newspaper. So the reason I came to be looking at that was I was having a conversation with some people on Twitter and the people involved with that magazine. And I've got to email them about some stuff. So anyway, today I was thinking I was going to take these shots of this UST tarp, and then I'd sit and do some research, maybe a bit of writing whilst I'm out here. But what I'm going to talk about now is the process of actually photographing these products. Now, as you guys know, when I get sent an item to test and then write up for the review. I don't put it in a studio setup. I don't light it immaculately. I tend to take a shot of it once it's just come out of the box. Sometimes it's in its packaging, other times not. And then when I come to actually show the product in the final write-up, there are shots, that's where you get all the detail shots of, it might be sort of, I don't know, some zips or buckles or a switch, or if it's a pair of walking boots, for example, it'll have like detail of the tread on the sole or something like that. But none of it is ever done in a studio context. I've thought about doing that, but you know, it's real world reviews. It's not product photography, which of course I would do if it was for a client. So I'm sat on the ground here. I've got a ground sheet which came from another tent. That's just keeping me and my kit dry from the ground, which isn't too wet, but where it has been raining, if you were to scrape away all the fallen leaves, it is a bit damp underneath there. I've got the Thermarest light seat, I think it's called. Let me just have a look. The light seat, yeah, which is one of the old ones I've had for years, and it's still going strong. It's just, you know, just blow it up and it gives you a bit of cushioning to sit on. But then next to me here, I have a small tripod with a very simple camera setup. Now, some of the shots that you will see of any product that I put in a write-up for a review, some of the shots are just taken on my phone. Now, in the past, that might have been on a Samsung phone that I had. I currently have an iPhone, so that gets used. But other times, you know, if I'm out and about or specifically looking to shoot these pictures, I don't like to rely on my camera phone. The quality is not as good. It's a pretty overcast day today, so you know, you would expect to get a little bit of graininess to the pictures, where it's not super bright in the woodland here. Brighter than it probably would be, give it another couple of months, because at the moment all the foliage is just starting to come out, so there isn't that canopy, which means there is quite a bit of light hitting the woodland floor. So what I've brought today, starting from the sticks first, this here is a Manfrotto tripod. This is a product I was actually sent for review some time ago now, at least a year and a half ago, I think. And I will link, of course, in the show notes to the write-up for the test review. It's actually very good. It's a Manfrotto, I forget exactly what they call it, a compact video kit, I think they call it. Anyway, the code for it is a MKC3-H01. Basically, was it 1, 2, 3, 4 section small tripod here. It doesn't barely weigh anything, packed up really small. The main feature for this tripod is that it's got this what you might call a pistol grip sort of assembly, where you mount the tripod on a quick release plate, and you've got like a roller or like a rocker wheel that allows you to release and then tighten up the head. And yeah, it's worked really well. I have used it with a D3 with something like a 24-70mm lens. That's really pushing it, because it was never designed for heavy cameras, but if you're careful, you can get away with it. And sometimes if I'm out and about and I don't want to carry a bigger or heavier, more bulky tripod, that is sometimes a compromise that I come to. Anyway, that is the tripod, and on top of that, very simple and very lightweight, I have my Nikon D800 with the Nikkor AFS 35mm f1.8 G lens. Now, before those technical people amongst you start jumping up and down, yes, I know it's not a lens matched to that camera. It's a DX format lens rather than an FX lens, which is, of course, what the D800 is. What does this mean in the real world? Well, if you don't use the masking which is built in. You can press a button and it puts a frame in there through the viewfinder. It does mean that you get vignetting, so you get dark corners to your pictures. It becomes more pronounced and they're much thicker, heavier and sharper edged as you go up your aperture scale. So f11, f16 particularly, you really start to see it. But do you know what? I actually don't mind too much. The D800 is such a powerful sensor, so much resolution there, that what I often do if I want to get rid of that vignetting, and you can sort of remove some of it in post-production, I tend to maybe frame a little bit wider, and because I know the quality is there in the sensor, so I frame a bit wider, and then in post-production I'll just crop in to where I originally wanted the framing to be, and it works absolutely perfectly. I could of course put the frame crop frame, I could activate that and that will get around it, but I just like to have more view or through the viewfinder. I like a wider space to work in. Personal preference, doesn't mean I'm right or wrong, but that's just the way I go about it. Oh, you probably hear a pheasant in the background. I've also heard some guns being fired, but I don't think... I think it's more on farmers' fields, like a precaution thing. I don't think they're actually hunting at the moment. Well, at least I hope they're not. yes, the setup for those pictures, if they happen today... and I'm just kind of looking out here. It's still... Yeah, it's still very fine. Almost so much that you... Yeah, it is. It is raining, but I can barely hear it falling on the top of the tarp here. Now, I could probably get away with it if it holds off a bit like this. But then I'm going to have to go back, hang the tarp up once I'm back and dry it off. And you never want to pack these things away when they're damp, because you start to get mould and all sorts of things growing. So whether I will get to do the shots that I wanted today remains to be seen. It might be that I just have to pick another day where it's absolutely fine, nice and sunny and all the rest of it. So that's really it. I just thought whilst I was sort of sitting things out for a moment, I would just talk you through that. Now the process... So that's the general overview. This is a very simple shot because there aren't... My idea had been, because there aren't fine details on that UST tarp to photograph in close up, the 35... I'm just thinking, did I say 50mm or 35mm? I've got a 50mm 1.8 as well. This is the 35mm 1.8. But the focusing on that lens, you can get pretty close, but if I was to really go in for the close-up stuff, I'd pick one of my macro lenses, something like my old 24-70, which has a specific macro function to get, allows me to get even closer for the details there. But I knew that the nature of the UST tarp, I don't need to be going in quite so close on that. And that is what dictated my choice of kit. Bear in mind that whatever I brought out to the woodland, I was carrying on my back. So just to give you guys an idea, you probably saw, if you are on Twitter or Facebook, you will have seen me mention that Low Alpine have very kindly... supplied some kit for some adventures that I've got coming up this year. As I sit here, I've got next to me one of their bags, which is the AirZone Pro 4555, which is a 45 litre pack with it has what's known as a floating lid, so that rather than the lid on top that you then buckle down, rather than that being fastened all the way along the back, it actually just is attached by some straps, like webbing straps, which means that if you essentially overfill your pack, or you want to just shove a coat or something just under the top, under that lid, it actually floats upwards, and it gives you an extra sort of 10 litres of storage. I'm not a big fan of that design. I like my packs to be sort of attached permanently on the back. I find that unless your pack is really full of your gear that you're using, it kind of can slip a bit, and when it's pouring down with rain, if you haven't got the external cover on, it's not a reflection on this bag, it's just generally what I've found with floating lid designs on various manufacturers bags. Anyway, the bag itself, very nice. This is the second or third time I've used it. Yeah, really nice. I'm also sat here in a warm, or rather a cold weather, what would look on the surface to be a down jacket with a hood. It's actually not. It's a man-made fiber filled. Doesn't quite pack down as much as a down jacket would be, but they've sent me that, and I thought, well, so long as I'm sat here on the woodland floor and the weather's not exactly, it's not like a lovely warm spring day, I want to keep warm whilst I'm sat here going through these magazines, making notes and what have you. As you know, a lot of you, I don't have much hair on the top of my head these days, so I invariably have a hat of some description. Often it's a knitted beanie, but today, just to try it out again, I have got, again, it's a low alpine a hat. I don't mean this to sound like an advert for Low Alpine. They do a great job, but I don't have, as I'm sure a lot of you know, I don't have allegiance to particular brands that I would deliberately drop their stuff in into a podcast. This is just what I happen to be trying out today. But no, I've got one of their, I think it's one of their classic mountain hats, which has got like a short peak, and it's fleece lined, and it's got flaps that come down to keep your ears nice and warm. My issue when I'm out and about, and you know, when I'm doing these shots, the reviews, or just when I'm shooting in generally, if I wear a peak cap, I find that the peak gets in the way when I raise my camera up to my face. But this one, you can actually pin, or like, it's got like a popper, so you can put the peak up and out of the way. Anyway, enough about Low Alpine. If you want to check out their stuff, I'll put links in the show notes. You're welcome to go and have a look. But yeah, so all my stuff is in this 45-litre rucksack, and I've got a small pouch which came out of the Lowepro Rover Pro 45-litre photography outdoor rucksack. I often just use one of the small pouches that comes out of that. And then I've just got things like I said, I've got the magazines and what have you, the tripods mounted on the outside. A couple of walking poles, one of which is currently being used to hold up the front of my tarp here. What else have I got in here? This is kind of pretty standard stuff that I take with me when I'm heading out, like on a trip like this morning or this afternoon. I've got some waterproofs in there just in case the rain really does set in. Of course, I have lunch, and I had some lovely hot tomato soup, and I'm just about to make myself a hot drink. And what you can hear here is some packages, and I've got some tea bags, and I brought some milk, but I've also got some hot chocolate. And I have to say, this will be a surprise for a lot of you, because you think I drink nothing but tea, but I'm actually thinking I might like a hot chocolate just as a bit of a treat. Why not? I don't drink it a lot. But the breeze is starting to pick up just a little bit. The rain is still there. It's ever so fine. I think what I'm going to do is just sort of sit here and go through these magazines and just see what happens, because there's no urgency for me to take these shots of this tarp, because I can always quickly pop out and do that another day. That is pretty much it. What I have done already is, whilst I have my camera set up, I took a picture of the tarp set up, and you'll see I was sat there, and that's going to be the most likely going to be the picture on the show notes. I'll also be putting a picture on Facebook, so on the Active Photographer Facebook page, so you'll be able to see a bit bigger if you so wish. But that is pretty much it, really. Not a lot more to add, because this is a real on the fly recording, because actually, and this is what I probably was going to be getting to when I started off recording this, what I had planned to do was to record some audio for you whilst I walk around the top, taking pictures, setting it up and what have you for the UST top for the review. However, well, if it does stay dry this afternoon, it may well be that I do that. And of course, I will let you know at the end of this week's show whether or not that has been the case. But as it is, I think that's probably going to have to stay for another day, I think. Who knows? We shall see. Anyway, I'm going to knock this on the head so that I can get on and make the most of my afternoon. And it's been a busy week. As I record this, it's a Saturday, and I was in this woodland at the start of the week on Monday, and it was it's amazing how, and also sort of last couple of weeks ago, it's amazing just in this short space of time we're starting to see all the foliage start to wake up, and all the leaves are starting to bud and everything, and it's really nice to see. I love these woodlands any woodland, in fact, in any season, but when you start to see everything waking up, and then obviously you can hear the pheasants and all the rest of it, that's really nice. I like that. I like it a lot. So, but there we go. So, if I do get round to recording later, I will let you know. If I don't, I will also let you know. Either way, I will be recording some audio. That's my plan at some point of that process. So I know that you guys like to hear me talking through what I'm shooting and what have you. That's one of the things you like, I know. So anyway, there we go. That's my thoughts for today, and yeah, just going to sit down, make myself that lovely hot chocolate, and we'll see what happens next. So for now, I will leave it there. Event, the rain came on a lot heavier shortly after I finished recording, so unfortunately I didn't get to shoot the tarp pictures after all. But when I do that, I will of course talk you through it as promised. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.